Absolutely. My name is Alicia Dean, and I work in the marketing department here at Graceland. My job entails everything from planning events to hosting celebrities to public relations, which is everything from, you know, working with journalists to film crews on site. We actually have a crew on site right now. They're from France, which is really exciting. So we do see media from all over the world that come to Graceland. And I have been here for 15 years as of June this past year. So it's been a wild ride. And as I was mentioning before, I started here in May of 2007 and started as an intern, actually. I was only supposed to be here for about 3 or 4 months. And here I am 15 years later. So it was an internship that turned into an extension after extension after extension of, you know, keeping me on here in the marketing department. And I honestly can say that I have one of the probably most coveted or, you know, most exciting jobs, especially in this weird entertainment tourism world. It's a facet of all different things. And Elvis is definitely fascinating.
I completely agree. Do you mind if we just jump right into student questions? Because I already got quite a few emailed to me, and guys, keep them coming in the chat or email. But so one of the kids wanted to know, what was it like having a film crew study Graceland in order to create the Elvis movie?
Well, what's fascinating is that, so Baz Luhrmann, if you're familiar with his work, I mean, he's only done about 6 or 7 movies in his entire career. And that's because he takes so much time to really dive in and do the research. And so Baz came in and stayed here for about, I would say, like a month or two. And really, he's the one that was in our archives, going through files, going through photos, and really doing the research himself. There was, I mean, a small team with him, maybe like 2 or 3 people. But for the most part, it was him, like, getting his hands dirty and going through that process of doing the research. He also went down to Tupelo, Mississippi, which is about 90 minutes from Memphis. And that's where Elvis was born, to tell that side of the story too. So it's really fascinating just to see on the back how when the movie came together and all the details that Baz took from his research. And there's a lot of Easter eggs that he hid in the movie that most people would probably never notice. And one of the things I'll tell you is that there's a scene where they're in Graceland. They had just moved into Graceland, and they're unpacking boxes, and there are, you know, the KitchenAid like mixers, like the stand-up mixers. There's 3 of them that you see in the movie. And that is because he found like receipts for 3 KitchenAid stand mixers in our archives. And he threw that in there. Most people wouldn't know that, but that's the kind of research that Baz did.
And if you guys haven't seen that movie, Jeff, definitely check out the Elvis movie, obviously with your parents' permission and all that kind of stuff. But depending, because I don't know how old everyone is. So one of the kids, they wanted to know, what is it like, has anyone ever donated Elvis items for you guys? And what is it like when you guys intake those? What's the process of that as someone who works? Because Graceland's kind of it's a museum. And so how does that work?
That's a really good question. So we have had items donated to us in the past. One of the most famous items to ever be donated to us is the cape from the Aloha from Hawaii jumpsuit. Not sure if anybody is familiar. In 1973, we're actually coming up on this 50th anniversary. Elvis performed the first ever satellite concert that broadcast across the world to over 1 billion people. the statistic we always say is more people watched this special than when man landed on the moon. The cape that he wore in that special, you can see Elvis in the show. He takes it off and throws it to the audience, really to never be seen again. And the long story short is that the person who had the cape, when they passed away, they actually willed it to us. And so when he passed away, we actually received it. And so really the process of that is just kind of taking it into our archives. The way that things break down into our archives is basically they get, you know, an archival number. We put it into our database system, which is essentially treated as almost like a Google search. So you can put in an item, you take the picture, mark out a description of what that item is, take a conditioning report. So if there's, you know, studs missing, if it's dirty, if there's a tear on the item, to truly get the, you know, whole report of the condition of the item. And then it goes into our database where you can essentially search and keep track of all the items. So, but yes, people do donate stuff. And we used to have an auction back a couple of years ago where people would send us things that would go and get auctioned off. So we have all sorts of different ways for people to, you know, if you wanted to donate something to us or authenticate an item. So a lot of people, you know, they might have an autograph of Elvis's that might have been on a scarf or something. And, you know, we do charge a fee for that if you want it authenticated, where you would say, you would send us the item. We would say, yes, this is either real or not. And then you would get a certificate if it was real to, you know, either have with you forever, or you could sell it on eBay if you wanted.
That's great. That's interesting stuff. We have a question from Carla, and she's in Spain. And Carla, you should be able to unmute. You had a couple of good questions. Go ahead and ask either.
What inspired you to go on with marketing?
You know, that's a really funny question, only because I'm so lucky, because I just kind of fell into this position and really learned along the way about marketing. Versus, you know, I took hospitality classes in college. And to be quite honest, when I graduated, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so this whole marketing public relations angle was fairly new to me. I'd taken a couple business classes, but I wasn't extremely familiar. And I more or less just kind of followed my heart, followed my passion into what I knew I was good at. And for me, that was more of, you know, talking to people, but also enhancing my skill sets of, like, you know, learning how to write for website copy and, you know, learn how to write press releases and things like that. So, honestly, there was a big part of what we do is driven by, obviously, this guy right here. It's because he's a person. Like, you know, I care about people, and he has a family. Like, he's a real guy that, you know, we are maintaining his legacy. And that to me is a big driver into what we do every day. And I know that's kind of like a roundabout way to answer that question, but just in terms of marketing, that also has a lot to do with, you know, protecting his legacy, because the way that we, you know, sell him has to be protected. I mean, you could put Elvis's face on anything and sell it, but we have to be very protective about what we do, and what deals get signed, and, you know, what business partners we work with, and, you know, everything has to be taken into consideration. So we're very protective. And I just think that has a lot to do with the passion behind my job, is to say, you know, I'm here to protect a man, even though we never met, but here to protect somebody who is obviously changing people's lives, and still in 2022, which is 45 years after he's been gone. So it's very special.
Well, we thank you for answering my email and connecting with us. I honestly threw that one out there in the universe and was surprised you guys hit me back. So we all thank you. So we have a question from one of our educators down in Miami. And let's see if he can unmute. Jason, you should be able to unmute to ask if you can. Here you go.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could tell us about some of the most interesting things that we might find in Graceland.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think, you know, how do you define interesting, right? I think it's all very much per person. And that's because I say that because, you know, you might think the most interesting thing is Elvis's book collection because you're an avid reader, just like Elvis was. A lot of people take what they love and apply it when they're here at Graceland to Elvis. So, I mean, again, he loved riding horses. So if you love horses, you're an animal lover, like that's what you might find the most interesting. So really, if I'm, you know, thinking about myself, you know, I love the stuff that makes him human. So like everybody has a wallet, right? So we have Elvis's wallet. It still has his credit cards in it. It still has the family photos in it. And that to me is really special because that's something that he carried with him every single day. So again, we have 1.5 million artifacts in our collection. And that's everything from, you know, cars to receipts to tons of documents. And so I think the most interesting is hard to say. Cause like I said, it's really all, you know, on your perspective. So gosh, if I could think of one more example, I would say that, I mean, I obviously love any of the clothing, just cause you can like take it and match it to a picture most of the time. And that kind of like makes it real to go, yeah, Elvis wore that and you have proof. But when Elvis visited President Nixon in the White House, he actually, it's like such a long story. If you don't know it, Google it because it's extremely fascinating. But on the plane, he was coming from LA to DC, he borrowed, it was on American Airlines, like letterhead on their like paper. And he wrote like a handwritten letter to the president and dropped it off at the White House. And that's how he got his meeting with President Nixon. So
that in itself is a wild, wild story that's about him and Nixon. So one of the students, I'll let Alvaro, and Alvaro is in Europe. Alvaro, you should be able to unmute. You had a very good question for Alicia.
Are you glad with the decisions that you have made and the objectives you've reached during your career and your life in general?
Oh my gosh, I could go on and on and on about the people that I've met in this business, in this industry through Elvis and Graceland. I mean, I could go on and on about the business relationships. I mean, I've been able to work with people from Gibson Guitar to Barbie to Pepsi to, you know, Paul Frank to Annie Leibovitz. I mean, I have been able to meet so many people, Austin Butler included, and I was able to meet Baz Luhrmann. I can't even begin to tell you because I am such a big Baz Luhrmann fan personally. I just thought, how is this even possible that I get to meet Baz Luhrmann through work and he's doing an Elvis movie? Like it's just beyond me. But then to the people that I have friendships with, like there are so many Elvis fans that they come here every single year, twice a year, three times a year, that have kind of, you know, become family. People that I get to work with are like our performers that we hire multiple times a year, to the fans that, you know, I get to see and talk to, and, you know, they want to love you too, just as much as they love Elvis. So it really, my whole Facebook and Instagram feed are Elvis fans who post every single day, either about Elvis or what they're doing when they come to Graceland. It really is amazing. I have friends from all over the world. Even in, you know, the UK and Spain and all of the countries that you've mentioned, that Elvis has really shown me that, you know, Memphis is on the map, because I'm born and raised a Memphian. I'm from Memphis, and it's really been wild to see that people from all over the world come here to cherish Elvis, and that means a lot to me. So I'm beyond thankful for this opportunity, and I always say, you know, right place, right time, and this is where I'm supposed to be. So
That's wonderful. And so we'll go with a few more student questions, then we'll let you go. Marco in Europe, he wanted to know, what kind of cars do you guys have at Graceland? I know it's quite a few. And you guys even have an airplane, if you want to talk about that.
We do. We have lots of Elvis's cars, and honestly, we should have more, but Elvis was known for giving cars away. He was known to give anything away. If you walked up to him and complimented him and said, "Elvis, I like that ring," he was going to take it off and hand it to you. So that's just who he was. But in terms of the cars, I mean, obviously we have the famous pink Cadillac, that is, again, notably probably the most famous car in the collection. We have Priscilla's Mercedes that he bought her. We have a 1956 Lincoln Continental. We have a Stutz Blackhawk, which was, we can't ever really say like that was Elvis's favorite car to drive. I mean, he liked driving them all, right? But this particular Stutz Blackhawk, he drove towards the end of his life. And there's a funny story behind it. It was actually ordered, Frank Sinatra ordered it. And the day that it came in to the showroom, Elvis went. And he was in the showroom. And as the story goes, we have the Stutz. So Elvis was able to convince the people at Stutz that he needed to have that car instead of Frank Sinatra. So we have that. So we have many, many cars. Like you said, we do have an airplane that Elvis, he bought. It was a Conair 880, I believe, and he essentially bought it, completely gutted the inside. I mean, it's a massive plane, and called it his Flying Graceland. So it was essentially taken, and there's a conference room, there's a bedroom, there's a lounge area. It's really there's 24 karat gold plated seat belts. It was truly Elvis traveled in style. So it's really neat.
That is wild. I wasn't aware it was that big. So one of the kids, he had wanted to know, because his mom works at Porsche, did he ever get a Porsche at any point? Do you know that you know of?
No, I don't think that there's a Porsche in the collection. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So let me let Jana ask a question. Jana, go ahead and unmute. You had a very good question for Alicia that I thought was good.
Have you ever had the opportunity to meet anyone from Elvis's family?
Yes, I have definitely met people from Elvis's family. So, I mean, what I get to do as part of my job is putting on what we call like our main Elvis events, if you will. So during his birthday in January, which is coming up in a couple weeks, January 8th, and then during August, when his passing was, we put together events that the fans, Elvis fans, will come to Memphis and celebrate his life and legacy. And at a lot of that we host, we have the family members come in at certain times. And so I've worked with Priscilla for years. She's absolutely lovely. And she's been a great spokesperson for the estate, the home, us, our company. And so, yeah, I mean, she lived it. So she absolutely has the amazing stories of Elvis and what it was like to be married to him. And I've worked with his daughter, Lisa Marie, as well. And yeah, so it's quite fascinating to, again, the layers of the job, you know, go from, you know, dealing with the family to dealing with fans to dealing with, you know, potential, you know, business partners on different deals to film crews. So, I mean, we're really all over the place, but.
So for our final student question, one of the students in France, they wanted to know, what is your best-selling item for souvenirs when it comes to Elvis stuff that you know of?
It's a really good question. I would say that we sell these like Elvis sunglasses, like the gold like sunglasses. Those are probably like the best seller on campus. Like when you come here, like tons of people buy the gold sunglasses to wear. But you know, I mean, we have everything from coffee mugs to t-shirts to socks. I mean, it's just kind of all over the place, but I would say those sunglasses are probably number one.
That's awesome. And real quick, a few of the kids want to know, how close in your opinion is the biopic with reality, percentage wise, would you give it?
Yeah, I would say that the movie is 90% accurate. The things that aren't accurate is if you are paying attention, and most people, again, wouldn't know this, but we knew the fans would pick up on this. It's more of chronological music. So if there's a scene in the movie where Elvis had been drafted into the army and he's singing a song from the movie King Creole, which he, if you're going chronologically, that song had not been out and he had not gone into the movies yet because he had was just being drafted into the army. So those things are kind of taken with creative freedom, if you will. It was like the song matched perfectly with that scene, and that's how they chose to do it. And honestly, that stuff doesn't bother me. But some fans probably were like, that's incorrect. And it's like, well, you know, you just kind of have to go with it. But so I would say, yeah, for the most part, 90% of the movie is factual with some creative liberties at hand.
So we will go with a couple more questions. Is that all right? Because I keep having to come in, but I don't want to keep you too long.
Yeah.
So that's great. One of our kids, I'll let Jose ask this. Jose, go ahead. You should be able to unmute to ask Alicia your question. You had a very good question, and I thought it was pretty pertinent with why we're here today. Go ahead, bud.
Okay. Hello. I want to know if Elvis study anything apart from music.
You know what's funny is that, so Elvis actually failed music in school. Elvis was one of those that he could hear it and then play it. So he actually didn't really like the studies, and went to high school, and then that was it. So outside of that, there wasn't much. I mean, now I will say Elvis was an avid reader. Like, we have tons of books in our collection, and Elvis was very interested in reading and studying. He was very spiritual. So there are a lot of books on, you know, religion. And he always said that, you know, he wasn't going to miss out on heaven due to a technicality. So there's lots of books on religion. So I will say that if he had to study something else and he wasn't really studying, but reading was about religion.
That, yeah, you can tell, like, you know, if you're reading like a lot in his background, that he has, you know, such a religious background and just very passionate about his faith. So one of our final questions comes from Leia, and she wanted to know, which is the room in Graceland that you find personally most interesting?
Ooh, the rooms that I love the most are the two rooms downstairs, which would be the TV room and the pool room. And I like them because of their decor. The most interesting, which would probably mean the most stories per se, is probably the jungle room. And that's because there was a lot of activity in there. I say that because Elvis actually recorded part of two albums in that room. It was in the 70s when he was tired of going into the studio. I believe it was like maybe 76 that they brought in the RCA recording truck from Nashville, and they had recording sessions in that room. So there's just a lot of history in there. And it was also a family room. Like, there's home video footage of them celebrating Priscilla's birthday in that room. So I feel like if walls could talk, the jungle room probably had some of the most interesting stories. And it's just a cool room in general. And Elvis never called it the jungle room. That was a nickname that was given to the room when we opened for tours in 1982. A travel writer came in and gave it the nickname, and the name stuck.
Wow, that is wild. And one last one. Do you guys have his first guitar ever? Or does anyone have that anywhere? Do you know?
We do not have that. That actually is kind of one of those, someone claims to have it. And there's really no way to authenticate that story. So it's kind of one of those sitting in limbo of like, is it real? Is it not? The world may never know, but we think we know who has it. He's actually here in Memphis, but do we know that it's the actual one? We're not certain. So
got it. So before we let you go, I asked this of all of our guests, and I just want to know, is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they go off into the world as someone like yourself who has such an interesting career? What kind of advice would you have for these kids as they try and figure out what kind of lives they want to live?
Yeah. So my advice is, yes, it is definitely great to get your degree and study and go through with school, because that will, it will carry you far. But also it's really about the people that you know. And I will say, I obviously, from my story, I wasn't like gung-ho passionate about Elvis. I fell into that. And I got really lucky. And so I would say, like, you know, follow your passion, but also let life happen. And, you know, take the risks. Like I said, if I would have told my mom absolutely not and pushed her off and said no, I would have, I obviously wouldn't be sitting here today. But, you know, life happened. And there have been other opportunities that have been knocking at my door that I just said, you know, not yet, not yet. There's got to be reason for everything. And I say, you know, again, let life happen, yet study, but at the same time, you know, make the contacts and, you know, cherish the contacts and maintain the contacts that you have, and build and grow the contacts. I actually, I was working with in a class from the SMU in Texas, students. And I was like, please feel free to reach out to me and connect with me on LinkedIn and keep up with me, because you never know, I might need someone in a years that I'm looking for a particular role, you know, so you just still never know. It's all about networking. And then, you know, obviously passion definitely drives you, but I didn't know what I was going to be doing. It just kind of, you know, happened. And at the end of the day, like, just be nice to people. Like, being nice is honestly the thing that I feel like carries, that will carry you forever. Cause if you're nice, people are going to remember that, and they're going to, you know, just carry it with them. And that's something that you, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. So I always say, you know, be nice and be kind, especially being in tourism. I want people to have the most amazing experience. They're going to maybe meet me once and then move on. And I always want them to remember that they had a great time here. So That's the best advice, I think.
Well, we thank you so much, and thank you for that advice, and thank you so much for your hospitality today. We appreciate it greatly, and I always do this for our guests. I'm going to end the meeting for all in a second, but before I do, I'm going to let everyone unmute, and can we all say thank you to Alicia for taking time out of her very valuable day to come talk to you guys about
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.